Hello, everyone, online and in person. What a mission this morning. I apologize in advance for the late notice to everybody. But we had to do what we had to do. And at the end of the day, God's word still gets preached. We still get to experience God's presence. And if you are visiting another church because we're not in person, that's all good. I pray that you have an amazing time and encounter with God. And yeah, I can't see the chat. Hang on, I can actually see the chat. Give me a second. Let me just see the chat for a minute. Oh, good morning, everyone. Yes, I see you. Sam, Fiona, Neva, Marcia. Sorry, whoever commented before I opened this, welcome this morning. I'll leave this open so I can see you guys. Can you guys hear me all right? Everyone all good? Yeah, comment on the thing. Sorry, guys, I'm just setting up so I can see you guys. Yeah, tamo. Weren't you here this morning? Oh, where'd you go? Back into bed. Hey, Sam. Yeah, that'll do. Cool. I encourage you guys to write notes this morning. We're carrying on in our In Motion series. And yeah. And hello, everyone inside the building. Talk to me. Man, it's so, I'm glad you guys are here because it'll be so hard to like talk to the screen. So we're going to start with James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. Sorry, we don't have anything up because it was a last minute thing. But if you have a Bible, you should have a Bible at least. If you don't have a Bible, borrow someone else's Bible. We're going to start with James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now let's turn to John 16:33. John 16:33. I'm going to read out a New Living Translation. It says this: "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going to jump from scripture to scripture this morning. It says this: "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while." Now let's go to Romans 8:18. I encourage you to write these down and read it yourself. So we went from James chapter 1 verses 2 to 3, then John 16:33, then 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, and now Romans 8 verse 18 says this: "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." And if you're writing notes this morning, and if you want to know what this morning's all about, the topic is called "Count It or Joy." In the chat, write down "Count It or Joy." Every point in person, say "Count It or Joy." 1, 2, 3. "Count It or Joy." So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak to us and that you reveal to us what needs to be revealed. I pray anything that is stopping us to hear your voice and hear your word from you this morning, Lord Father, we ask that you take that away so that we may grow in you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So who in here, I want to ask the people in here and also the people online, who in here has faced the trial before? Only 5 people in this room face trials. Oh my goodness. Anyone on there? Just put like a thumbs up or something. Who here has faced the trial? Who in here and online has faced multiple trials? Yeah? Yep, there's a few people in here and online. Yep, a few people have it online too. I just want you, like, can we have our hands up who's faced multiple trials? Cool. So look at the people in your room, like across the room, who put their hands up online, who said, yeah, I faced it. I want you to gauge the room and see that trials is part of life. So because you, like, I can see the people who raised their hands here. There's many people in here who's faced many, many trials, but you online, trials are part of life. With all these verses we just read, shows us that we'll go through trials and suffering, but it doesn't end there. So we will go through trials and suffering, but it doesn't end there. In James, it said that we'll produce patience. In John 16:33, it said Christ has overcome the world, so take heart. In 1 Peter 1:6 says, trials is for a little while, but there's joy ahead. In Romans 8:18, it says, there's a glory ahead. So we will go through trials, but there's a glory ahead. We'll go through trials, but there's something ahead of us. So take heart. I have overcome the world so that you can overcome the world. Are you guys with me? Cool. So we're going to examine quickly what James is saying this morning. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, the first scripture that we read, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I want to ask you this question, and I want you guys to answer it yourself. You don't have to put your hand up or anything, and everyone online. I want to ask you two questions. The first one is this. When you think of going through trials, what do you see it as? When you think about a trial, what do you see it as? And what do I mean by that? I mean, what do you see it as an opportunity, or do you see it as God not happy with you? Do you see it as a curse? Do you see it as something that, oh, I must be going through this for blah, blah, blah reason? When you think of a trial, what do you think of, what do you see it as? I'll give you a moment. Think about it. When you think of a trial, what do you see it as? Is it an opportunity, or is it God mad at you? Or is it, oh no, I sinned because of blah, 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 blah. What do you see trials as? Everyone on chat? Okay, the second question I want to ask us. So we thought about what we think of a trial, but what happens when you're in the trial? What do you actually see it as? So when we think about trial, we're like, okay, I see a trial as this, this. But when you're actually in it, what do you actually see it as? And how do we gauge that? Think about the last trial that you had and how you reacted to it. Think about it. How did you react to your last trial? How did you react to your current trial? If you're going through a trial right now, how are you reacting to it? That will tell you what you see your trial as. Everyone on chat? Think about the trial that you've been through and how you reacted within that trial. That will tell you how you see trials. It's one thing to look from afar with what a trial could be or should be to you, but what you truly believe comes out in the midst of the trial. It's one thing to say, oh man, trials are there to help me and to grow me in Christ. But then the trial hits you. Do you think about Christ? Like, be honest. When a trial hits you you feel like you're going through some type of suffering, and in the midst of that, Christ is not even in your thoughts, not in your process. You're just like, oh man, why am I going through this? It's a good question for us to ask. And so what James is challenging us when he says, count it all joy. Let's read that again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And what James is challenging us with is our attitude and perspective on trials. We need to really look at how we view trials. We need to look at our attitude towards trials and our perspective towards trials. Because the opening statement in James, it says, my brethren, count it all joy. Say, count it all joy. On the chat, count it all joy. Write it down. Count it all joy. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Falling into various trials is a given. For everybody in the room right now and everyone online, trials is a given. It's inevitable. You are going through trials. If you're breathing, you're going to go through a trial. But the perspective and attitude to counter all joy is one from a godly perspective.
Amen, Jordan. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah. Praise God, Jordan.
He's all right on chat, in the room. You all right? So falling into trials is a given, but the perspective and attitude to counter all joy is from a godly perspective. And my first point to us today is this. Every trial needs a God perspective. Let me say that again. First one, every trial needs a God perspective. Meaning we need to see, we need to see from God's perspective when it comes to trials. I know for myself, when I've gone through trials, many trials, I've been through heaps. It was a trial this morning. Trying to go from the Wanamera High School, and I'm not going to tell you what's happened, but something happened that shouldn't happen, but it happened anyway. And I was like, ooh, in my head, I was like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, have you ever been through that? Like, you just like, something hits you, and you're like, And you know what? I had to keep my peace. The reason why I had to keep my peace, because I got to preach. I can't preach out of anger. I can't preach out of frustration. I can't preach out of all that. So I had to keep my peace. And that was a trial this morning where I had to see, okay, God, what do you want to see? And I was like, on the phone with my wife, talking to her, and blah, blah, blah. And then the guys were talking to me, and I was just like, in my head, I was like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I just feel like punching somebody. That's how I felt like this morning. I wanted to punch somebody because I felt like, what is this happening? But in the midst of it, I'm like, okay, what's the God perspective in this? What is the God thing in this? You know what the God thing is? We got to still praise Jesus together, and God's word still got preached. Maybe the means of it changed because we're in live session online, but I'd rather in person, but you know what? God's word still got preached. We still got to experience God's presence together, and that's the most important part, is for us to encounter Jesus. And so every trial needs a God perspective. That means there shouldn't be a shock to us when we're going through a trial or when a trial comes up to us. We shouldn't be shocked that a trial comes to us. But you know, when something comes to us and we're like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? Why is this happening to me? We like, in our humanity, we do that. And we read this verse before, John 16:33. This is Jesus to the disciples. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will. Let me say that again. Here on earth. Are we on earth? Yep. I don't know about some people's minds, but we are on earth. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So if Jesus is telling us, the God of the universe, who came as man in flesh, comes to die on the cross for us, and he says to us, hey, Melba, you're going to go through many trials. You will go through many trials. He's not just talking about the disciples at the time. He's telling us, Lee, you're going to go through many trials. So when trials come to us, we act all surprised. We're like, oh, why is this happening to me? Because we're like, why is this? Or am I being punished by God? Or we start asking these questions, but Christ says, you shouldn't be shocked because I already told you. But you wouldn't know unless you read your word. The reason why we get shocked that we go through trials is because for some reason in the Western culture of church, we make it all sunshine, roses, and we accept God and we're like, hey, yeah, we're free, blah, 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 all this. But God says, take heart, I've overcome the world, but you'll go through trials. It just means that's a guarantee and a promise to us that here on earth, we will go through some type of suffering. Here on earth, we will go through some type of trial. But our encouragement this morning, and what James said, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Being a born-again believer doesn't mean we won't face any trials. It just means we won't face any trials alone. Can I say that again? I know I'm saying the same thing, but a little bit different. Being a born-again believer doesn't mean we won't face any trials. It just means we won't face any trials alone. Because what did Christ say? He says, have peace in me. Here on earth you will go through many trials, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Why is he telling us to take heart that he's overcome the world? Because he's saying, because I've overcome the world, you can overcome the world. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says this, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear, do not be dismayed. We are choosing every day to see from a God perspective. And I don't know about you this morning, anyone online or here in person, is that sometimes it's hard to see from a God perspective when we go through trials. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that going to see from a God's perspective when you're going through sorrows and trials is going to be easy. No, it's going to be very hard. But God says, count all joy. And he says, take heart. He says, come to me. We have to go to Jesus. We have to see from his perspective. Are we okay this morning? So don't get me wrong. Trials are never a joyous occasion. Who's had a joyous occasion when it comes to trials? You've had a joyous... Okay, if you haven't seen that, let's put his hand up. Who's had joy? Who went through a trial and said, "Yay, I'm going through a trial." Anyone? Anyone online? Anyone did that? You going through a trial? Yay, I'm going through a trial. I don't think we've ever had that ever. James in James chapter 1, James isn't encouraging us to chase after trials, nor is he telling us to pretend that it doesn't hurt. But what he is saying for us is to see what God sees in it and trust him through it. It's not about pretending that something doesn't hurt. It's not us going, "Oh man, I want to find this trial so that I can counter all joy." No, he's not telling us to do that. He's saying that when you go through it, trust in him and see from God's perspective. And so every trial needs a God perspective. The second point that I have for us this morning is this. Every trial has a purpose. There's a second point. Every trial has a purpose. Trials are difficult. Trials are painful. And I don't know about you, but I haven't been through a trial that hasn't been difficult or painful. Every trial that I've been through personally, it's been difficult and painful. But what I do know about trials is that there is purpose in it. The question I want to ask us this morning, do you see a purpose within your trial? And I'm not saying from like the outside, I'm saying when you're going through a trial, do you see the purpose in it? Because every trial has a purpose. Even if I don't see it, at the get-go, there is a purpose attached to your trial. Are we okay? You know what one of the purposes is? And this is one of the main things throughout trials, is that trials has the potential to make us more like Christ. So simple, but so hard, because if we don't see it as something that takes us more deeper into Christ and more like Christ-like, we'll miss the opportunity in growth in the midst of trials. Are we okay? I had a thought. I wrote this thought down. If trials have a purpose, and attached to that purpose is for us to be more like Christ-like, it means that sometimes in our mind, when we go through trials, we feel like we're worse off. Have you ever felt like that? When you go through a trial, you feel worse off. You don't feel like closer to God. You don't feel anything. You just feel like I'm in a bad, worse position than I was before. Have you had that moment? But I want us to like sit back from that thought, because in the Word of God, God shows us that he wastes nothing. Like, you know, when we have those thoughts of like going through a trial and we're like, "Man, I feel like I'm worse off." You know, there's purpose thought in that, even in your thoughts of "I'm worse off," because if you just step back and see from a God perspective, you will actually see that God won't waste the very thing that you're going through. That God doesn't waste anything. And in Romans 8:28 it says, "And we know all things work together for good for those who love God." We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work together to those who love God. I'm saying this like multiple times. All things work together. Which means all things. The Hebrew meaning for all is all. All things means all things. So even in the midst of the very thing that you're going through, you like feel like it's a waste, let me tell you, God will use that because it's all things. You know, the things that you feel like, oh, God can't use me because I go through this stuff, or I've done this and that. Has anyone felt like their past, certain things in their past, God can't use? Anyone feel like that in the room? Yeah, one. Any over there? Just put your hand up. Just go, yeah, that's me. What about you online? There's something in your past you feel like God can't use because that you feel like it's a waste, or it's yuck, or it's ugly, or it's dark, whatever. But God says that he uses all things for those who love him. That means that all things means all things. And that means trial, that means suffering, that means all the good, the bad, the ugly. He will use all things to what? To elevate you to be more Christ-like. Because Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things, that includes trials. God will work your trials for good. Even though when you don't feel like it. Even though you feel like that trial is like, oh, nah, that's my fault. Yeah, it may be your fault, but God will still use it. The reason why people get into a lot of trials and suffering, most of the time, it's from our own doing. That's just being honest. That's our own doing gets us into a little bad situations. But you know what? God loves us so much that even if it's our doing, he will still work things for our good. He's just that kind of God. And if we can see the bigger picture or the purpose of the trial, this is how we can counter all joy. This is the reason why we need a God perspective. Because if we get a God perspective, we see that every trial has a purpose. But if we don't have a God perspective on things, we'll see that the trial is there because of our mistakes, or we'll see it there because of our sin, or we do that because of God's mad with me. This is what I got told when I was young. Not from my parents, just from like things I heard, like when it's raining, God's crying. Have you ever heard that? When it's raining, God's crying. Or when there's thunder, God and the devil's having a fight together. All this yada 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 yada. I have no clue why I told you that. It was just in my mind. I just wanted to say it. Are you guys all right on chat? So God will work trials for our good. Even though joy is contrary to our normal human reaction to trials and suffering, but if we have a God perspective and one that sees purpose in it, we can rejoice in it. We can rejoice in the fact of trials and suffering when we have a God perspective. And if we have a God perspective, we can see the purpose in it. Which comes to the last point today, and I think this is probably the most important point. So we see the first one is that every trial needs a God perspective. Every trial has a purpose. And I think this is the one that is the hardest. But if we do it right, you'll see the joy in it. And the third one is this. Learn to embrace trials. Can I say that again? The last point today is learn to embrace trials. We have to learn to embrace it. Embracing trials is not about embracing suffering and hurt, but it's about embracing the outcome God will accomplish through it. Can I say that again? Embracing trials is not about embracing suffering and hurt, but it's about embracing the outcome God will accomplish through it. It's about the outcome. So we're not going, oh man, I'm going to embrace the trial because I'm hurt, it's making me hurt, it's making me sad. It's not about embracing that, but it's embracing the outcome God will accomplish through the trial, through the tribulation, through the suffering. Because you know what? The truth is this, many miss out on God's purpose in trials because they forfeit in the middle of it. Have you ever been in a trial and forfeit it? You're just like, you're going through something and you have a scapegoat. You have an easy way out. And you're like, it's either go through this hard bit or do the short pace. Many, when they go through trials, they forfeit in the middle of it because they're like, I don't want to go through the suffering anymore. But you know what happens when we forfeit in the middle of our trial? We forfeit any growth. We forfeit any intimacy. We forfeit anything that God's trying to achieve within us when we forfeit in the middle of our trial. And so we need to make sure that we embrace trials, not in the way of like, oh yeah, all the suffering, but embrace trials knowing that the end of it is for my good. That God's going to take me through it. We claim it's unfair, it's too hard. Why me? I don't deserve this. And chuck in the towel. Without realizing that if we embraced it and trust God through it, then we'll see that the outcome is worth the temporary trial and suffering. That's what we got to get clear this morning, is that the suffering and trial that we go through is only temporary. But you know what? We trade off what is temporary because we're like, we don't want to get hurt anymore. But God's like, I need you to go through this. You caused this. He's like, God's like, you caused this. Jordan, you caused this. This is the reason why you're going through this, because your mistakes and what I've done. So what he's doing, he's like, you got to walk me through it. And I'm like walking through it, and I'm like, nah, I want to give up. I can go the easy way out. I remember before I got married, I remember with my mum. I remember there was a time in my life with my parents that it was hard. It was there was not a good relationship. And I remember I had two choices. And Mum, I know you can hear me. I had two choices. I had one choice to move to another church, or one choice to stay and fix what I had. I'm not going to tell you the background, because there's a lot in the background. But I remember the two choices I had, and this is the conversation that me and my mum had in the private room, and now I'm revealing that in transparency. But I remember in the room, and I remember Mum's like, she was at Life City, and in the room she's like, you need to choose. I can send you to another church who wants you, or you need to submit. I was going through my stuff inside, and I wasn't seeing eye to eye to my mum, who was my pastor as well. I had the easy way to go to another church and keep fulfilling what God put in my heart. But if I did so, I would have forfeit everything God was trying to do with me there. The man that I am today was all around that decision. If I forfeit that trial, or that suffering, that thing that I was going through, if I forfeit it right there, I don't think I'll be preaching in front of you today. That's how much things that we go through. If we don't see a God perspective in it, you will forfeit a lot of things that God has planned for you in that very season. And I remember that day, man. I remember that, and I was so mad. This was years ago. This is over 10 years ago, maybe even longer. But I remember I was so mad, but I had to make the decision, and I was like, no, I'm not leaving. And I remember, like, but then I had to learn how to submit. I had to choose to do something that I was uncomfortable with. And this is not submitting as a mum. This is submitting as a pastor, as a spiritual leader. And I had to learn how to submit. And I remember that day as clear as day today, man. I was in her office, and she said, you need to choose. I can send you to this place. They want you as the worship pastor. Or you submit. Two choices. I had an easy way out and continue to do what I was doing. Or I stuck it through to achieve things that I thought I would never achieve. And I can tell you right now, if I didn't stick through and embrace what that thing I was going through, if I didn't embrace it there, I wouldn't have gone through the forgiveness that I needed to go through. I wouldn't have had a love for people like I have today. I wouldn't have a lot of things that's in me today if I made that wrong decision. And so I want to encourage us, is that we need to learn to embrace the trials we go through and don't forfeit in the middle of it. Because there will be always a scapegoat to your trial. The enemy is so good. He is cunning like that. What did when Jesus went into temptation, right? When Jesus went into temptation and the Holy Spirit led him there, the devil was like, do this, do that, and I'll give you all this. I'll give you the kingdom. I'll give you all the keys back if you just bow down to me. And he started doing this test. What he was doing, he was trying to create a scapegoat. He was paving a way, saying, you can either go through the suffering of the cross or just bow down to me. Every trial that we go through, there is always something that's easier, but not the right one. And so we need to learn to embrace the trial that we go through. And even if it's like, I'm not saying this, but like Christ had to go to the cross. That was the end goal. He had to go die for our sins. There will be something like that agony at the end of it, but the end of that agony, there's glory. At the end of our trial, there's glory. And so if we choose to stick through it, like how Jesus chose to stick through it, even in the midst of the Garden of Gethsemane, where he cried in blood because he's like, all the weight of the world was upon him, and he's like, oh Lord, is there another way? But he's like, okay, no, your will, not my will be done. What he was doing? He was like, oh no, there's another way, like a, a shortcut, but I'm not going to take the shortcut. I'm going to go through this trial. And that's what Jesus did. And we need to learn how to embrace trials that we go through. Because trial shows us what we truly believe. That's what trials do. It reveals what we truly believe. You will know if God is the center of your life once you go through trials. Can I say that again? You will know if God's the center of your life if you go through trials. You will know if you truly believe what God says once you go through trials. Trials will reveal your heart. Trials will show things in your heart that you're going through. And will tell you whether you believe God or not. It does. For example, Joseph was sold into slavery, put into a pit, put into jail. Through the trials he faced started from his brother's jealousy, he trusted God from start to finish. There was an easy way for Joseph, but he chose to go from start to finish. Another guy, Job, he lost everything, his home, wealth, animals, and children. Despite this, he still praised God in the midst of it. Even when his friends and wife told him to give up on God, Job stayed faithful in the midst of all his trials. David faced numerous trials, tribulation, enemies throughout his life. Despite these challenges, he remained steadfast in his belief that God is faithful and good. Despite oppositions from leaders, followers, and even within his own household, David recognized the hand of God working in every aspect of his life. See, trials and tribulation or suffering is inevitable. You will go through it, but we must be people who not only embrace it, but we have to prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? We prepare it by these three things. Learn to see it from God's perspective, find the purpose in it, and then embrace it. How do we learn all this? We learn this from the Word of God. We need to be people of the Word. We need to make sure that we give God glory every day. We need to make sure that we come into His presence on a daily occasion so that we can prepare for it. So that when things hit us on a curveball, we're ready. Even if we're not physically ready, our spirit's ready. Like this morning, we weren't physically ready. We had to like run around, try to figure out this, try to figure out the live stream. We had to do all this other stuff that we weren't ready for, but our spirit was ready. So that's how we prepare for it. Learn to see it from God's perspective. Find the purpose in it. Embrace it. It's not about pretending it doesn't hurt or it's hard with trials and suffering. It's acknowledging that God knows my end from the beginning and I'm going to trust Him in it and through it. That's what it's all about. Count it all joy. That when we go through trials and suffering, we're going to count it all joy. How do we do that? We learn to see it from God's perspective. Find the purpose in it and embrace it. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your presence. We thank You that You're for us and with us. Lord, Father, help us to count it all joy when we go through trials and suffering. Father, help us to see trials and suffering from Your perspective. Let us see and find the purpose in it. And Holy Spirit, help us to embrace it. Let us not forfeit the thing that we're going through, but let us walk through it with You, because we know at the end of it, there's glory. And so, Father, we want to acknowledge this morning that, Lord, Father, that trials, even though it may be caused by us or other things external, we know that trials can be turned for our good through You. And so, Father, we just want to acknowledge that You're in the midst of our life and that You're working everything for our good. And so, Father, we give You honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, all God's people say, amen, 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 amen. Give God a hand.